If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 31. Be a good place to begin this morning. Psalm 31, verse 19. It says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." You know, I know as we live our lives, it gets busy. A lot of things going on. I would say if you're pretty much a normal person, you can't get accomplished everything in a day that you would like to get accomplished. So then you begin the next day, maybe to start all over again to do that. But you know, this right here, verse 20 says, "Especially thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." You know, it's really important for us to be refreshed and strengthened in God's presence. And that's so that we can continue with some joy. Some joy. We should be really joyful. In our lives, you know, something that God's Word directs us and talks to us about is that our joy would be full. And, you know, there's a verse in Psalm 16 that says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." In 1 John, it said that we write these things unto you that your joy may be full. So my encouragement this morning is we're going to learn the importance of being quiet. I know we live in a world where everybody wants to speak up and speak their mind and make known their opinions and how important what they have to say is. But the title of this teaching is called Our Secret Place. And when we spend time with God in prayer and in the Word, we enter into that secret place, which is a place of peace, it's a place of rest, and it's a place of security. It's where we give our cares to God, and we trust God to take care of us. It is where we are protected. And certainly some of the things that the enemy tries to attack us with are untrue thoughts, hurtful words, and or the circumstances of life. Anybody ever had an attack in any one of those categories? If you're not raising your hand, you should be. Because if you have never had a thought in your mind that's not true, then something's wrong with you. You're perfect. That's one of the ways that the enemy introduces the deception of his lies, is with the thoughts that he promotes and promulgates. He doesn't care how it gets across to you, whether it's through your administration at your work, the media, your best friend. It doesn't matter. But what these tactics do, and what they're used for, and they're used actually very effectively to bring pressure, to bring anxiety, and to bring stress. I would like to say before you all that I have had stress in my life this week. Is there anyone else here who has had some form of stress in their life this week? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know why? We are in a spiritual life here. And we have been studying and spending so much time talking about praising, about worshiping, about giving our hearts to God, opening ourselves up to God, giving God the one thing He really desires to have. John 4:24, remember? They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, the one thing the enemy wanted, it caused the fall of the enemy. What did he primarily want behind the scenes? You know, the devil's like the Wizard of Oz, kind of. He's controlling things and manipulating things. But when you pull the curtain back, you see it for what it really is. The one thing the adversary, the devil, really wanted was praise. See, so in some respects, maybe it comes as no surprise that he's trying to put pressure on people, fill them full of anxiety, get them all stressed out. So guess what? They completely forget about praising and thanking and the benefits of the things that God has given them. That's why it's so critical for us to get into the secret place. Get into that environment where we are fellowshipping intimately with God. See? And I'm talking outside of this environment. Because if this is the only environment you're getting it, then pressure, anxiety, and stress can pretty much be a guarantee of the types of fruit that you will be, I'm not going to say enjoying, putting up with. See? How do we defend ourselves against those things that the enemy would throw at us? Because we're all pushed for time. See? And you could sit there and ask yourself, well, easy for you to say that. But I don't have any time in my life. I already get up at 4:30 in the morning. I get home at 6:30 at night. I have kids. I have responsibilities. I have fellowship. Yada. Wow. And I'd say, man, you are busy. See. But look, verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. You see, we can be assured that whatever others speak against us, or whatever circumstances or situations arise, it can't hurt us. It can't get to us. It can't get to our hearts. Because we're protected by His presence. Look in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. Because I'll tell you, to try to walk as a man or a woman of God with no joy in your life, whew, it is a drudgery. It is hard work. See? And many times what ends up happening is we then try to do it in our own strength. And we become religious in our activities. See? Rather than realizing it's not in us. I mean, it's in us, but it's not in what we have done or are doing to bring these things to pass. See, a lot of traditional Christianity has taught, do, 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 get out there, do it, do it. But you know, the true heart of God's Word says it's already done. Done, done, done. And that's why so many times there's this push to control people's behavior. When behavior is not really the issue. The issue is really more of people don't understand who they are. Truly. You know, I bet that's something we could go into that secret place and talk to God about. And you know, let's say, Father, or however you started, I don't know. I don't see my life that big. I don't understand this. I hear what Barney's teaching on Sunday, but I need to see this for myself. You have just opened the door for God Almighty to work with you to such a point that He will show you things about your life that you will never forget. All God is doing is waiting for us to ask the right questions. He can't force it on you. See? What was that somebody said? You have not because you ask not. How about, you know what, Father? I don't really understand how to walk by the Spirit. Well, but, you know, no one will hear you when you say that. It'll just be you and God, because God already really knows. See? Then we'll have to, like, fake it. Okay? Hey. We're honest in our walk before God. We can talk to God about anything because He already knows. anything. See? Where were we? Isaiah chapter 54. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love this verse. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Wow. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I'll read the Amplified Version. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall show to be in wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me, and that is which I impart to them as part of their justification. You see, the nature of God has been reproduced in each and every one of us who's confessed Romans 10, 9, and 10. That's the beauty of what Jesus Christ did in His finished work. He gave everyone the ability to walk like He did. See? But there's something that you find as you look at the exemplary life of the Lord Jesus Christ is that He got together with God quite a bit. Matter of fact, before He made major decisions, a lot of times the Word says He was up all night in prayer. See. Go to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Way back there. You know what I like? Love sharing these types of things because really they're so practical. And they're so timely. Because we're all going through it together. See? I face the same battles you do. Day after day after day. Challenges to renew my mind, to control my thinking, to spend time with God, to go before God and ask Him questions. You know? Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14, He said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. In verse 15, Moses said, And if He said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, I'm not going either. Okay? That's the kind of talking terms that Moses and God were on, because Moses, he was scared. I mean, he was getting this responsibility dropped on him that was a pretty major deal, you know? But God reassured him that He would go with him. But Moses' response was one that said, Okay, but if you don't go, then don't send me either. Okay? It's a fascinating subject, learning how to stay peaceful and quiet on the inside. I want to read a little bit from a book by Joyce Myers called Eight Ways to Keep the Devil Under Your Feet. We really need to understand the awesomeness of the presence of God and what is available to us as believers. Why in the world would we not want to spend time with God? We hang on the telephone or texting. We hang out in the shopping center. We watch television. There's no problem with that. Well, listen to this statement. The devil fights us more on spending time with God than he does on any other part of our Christian life. How about that? The devil works overtime to keep you away from God. The very thing that your heart seeks after and has such a hunger for, it's the only thing that's going to be satisfying to your soul. It's the only thing that's going to energize you and strengthen you to really bring out the spiritual nature that's within you. I know that because I've tried other ways of trying to do it on my own. It is hard work. Much rather have God working on my behalf in intimate fellowship with Him than me having to try to figure everything out. See? In fact, Satan would like nothing better for us than to get involved in all kinds of religious activities rather than spend time with God. There's only one way I know to maintain the, she calls it the anointing of my life, and that is by spending time in the presence of God. Well, you may be wondering, but what do I do when I spend time with God? Good question. What do I do when I spend time with God? Well, you just dedicate a portion of time for that purpose. You try not to be legalistic about it, but try to be as regular with it as you can. During that time period, you read the Bible, any other Christian books possibly that minister to you, and you talk to God. Sometimes you may want to listen to Christian music and worship. Other times you may just want to sit there and enjoy the silence. And I got to tell you, this is a really interesting thing. On Sunday mornings before I teach, I normally get up early. I got up at 4:15 this morning. I go into my office, because then it's like really quiet, and all of a sudden I hear something. And we have a guy living with us, William. His girlfriend lives in China. They're on a different time schedule. He's talking to her on Skype at 4 o'clock in the morning. And of course, the only thing my mind can hear is him talking to her at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to get quiet. See? How about that statement? The one thing the devil works overtime to do is to get you to stop spending time doing what you need to do. So sometimes you may want to listen to Christian music and worship. Other times you may just want to sit there and enjoy the silence. And if you will do that, you will begin to feel and sense the presence of the Lord. Because one of the things we need more than anything is a conscious awareness of God's presence with us. Really something. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. But in quietness and in trusting confidence, that's going to be your strength. You know what? Our lives are so busy and so noisy. We just don't have enough quiet time in our lives. We don't spend enough time being alone. A lot of us can't, I can't speak on your behalf. Many people have a problem just being alone with themselves. They've got to have some sort of distraction. But see, we don't even have enough silence. We don't spend enough time just sitting somewhere with no noise, no distraction, just quiet. Because even here, now, you still hear these fans, huh? Hear the noise outside, hear the traffic going by. There's things going on. For example, we always think we've got to have something on in the house. Radio, TV, stereo, computer. But you know what? That's not true. One of the best ways, the best ways to experience the presence of God is to get it quiet enough in your house and in your space that you can actually hear birds chirping outside the window. And if you're fortunate enough to be in that situation, then praise the Lord. And if you're not, and it's something you have to continue to fight for, then that's something we continue to fight for. See. I thought that was fascinating in that the title of that book is Eight Ways to Keep the Devil Under Your Feet. And one of the first ways is you've got to be quiet on the inside. How the heck are you going to hear from God otherwise? How do you recognize God's voice with all the turbulence and all the noise going on? It's just a voice amongst many other noises. See? Because He doesn't come in an earthquake, right? It's the still, small voice of God. We got to take time to learn. And maybe even in that place, going to God and asking God, teach me how to hear Your voice. Teach me how to walk by the Spirit. Teach me how to operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit. Teach me how You work with me individually so that when You are doing something for me, I have the awareness that it's actually You that's doing it. See? Matthew chapter 14. What a great subject. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Great example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He Himself, personally, Jesus Christ, went up to a mountain by Himself, apart, to pray. And when the evening was come, He was up there alone, talking to God. He was in that place, see, communing with the Father. That verse I was talking about earlier, we won't look there, it's in Psalm 16:11. It says, "For in Thy presence is fullness of joy." Joy is a very strengthening thing in our lives, because you remember in Nehemiah, there's the verse that says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the... Remember that song? Yeah, ha ha ha. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, you know. When you have joy, you have strength. It just energizes you. It strengthens you. When your heart is light, see? And when you have strength, and when His strength, then you know what? We can defeat the enemy. Keep him under our feet at all times. Joy is not determined by how we feel. And it's not determined by your circumstances. So, when you start to wonder where the joy has gone in your life, that's a good time to get into the presence of God. And those are times, those are questions, those are things that we have all been at, places we've all been at. It's just like, where is the joy in all this? Well, you know what? I'm spending too much time trying to do it on myself and kind of leaving God out of the equation. We want fullness of joy. We want joy to be manifested in our hearts and lives. We go into the secret place, into the presence of God. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91:1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's under the protective covering of the Almighty God. See, good place to be. I mean, I'd love to have front row seats to the Chargers game. But this is even a better place to be, you know what I mean? Under the wings, under the protective care of God Almighty. You know, when we get into that place where we're communing, fellowshipping with God, spending time, hanging out, being together with Him, being quiet, we then are aware that we have a connection with God. Otherwise, it's just kind of a long-distance call. You know, we know God, we believe in God, we want the relationship, but our lives are just so full of other stuff, we basically don't have time. So we make a long-distance call every now and then, just to check in, make sure everything's cool, and we move on. See? You know, it's interesting that the Word says that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means everything within you, within me, we are to direct our efforts, our energy, our lives towards God. It's got to be doable without it being bondage. I mean, because you're thinking, God, you know, okay, geez. I got this, and how am I supposed to do that too? It's a choice, right? It's a decision. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. I mean, where's our priorities really at? You could fake me out or fake somebody else out, but in your heart, you know. See? Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. You know what? That's the place to be. The secret place. The hiding place. Many other references and things that talk about God being our safety, God being our rock, God being our refuge, our strong tower, our high place, our on and on and on it goes. Well, it's great to know all those things, right? It's much better to be there. You know, I can just quote this and quote that and talk about this, and I can talk all I want about God. But my relationship with God is out the window. I'm knowledgeable of what it's like to have a relationship with God. Thing is, I want the relationship with God, not just talk about what it's like. See? You see, as we spend time in the secret place of His presence, it changes you from what you are to what only He can make you to be. Because it's God who's transforming you. It's not you who's transforming you. So many times we take the responsibility because I can't change. I'm trying so hard to change. Well, that's the problem. You're trying too hard to change. The key thing is getting into the presence of God and allowing God to transform your life. God to bring qualities to the surface that are really the desires of your heart to live out. It's figuring out how to allow that to happen. See? You know, it's funny, we'll condemn ourselves about all sorts of things that we can't get accomplished, or we can't quit, or we can't do this and that, or failures, or whatever. And you know what? It's an attack from the enemy, just like she said, that he fights like crazy to do whatever it takes in your life to keep you away from God. It really doesn't matter what the circumstance is, what the pressure is, what the reason is. The reality is you've got to see it for what it is. And if there's something in my life that's endeavoring to keep me away from intimately fellowshipping with God in that secret place, then I've got to deal with it. I've got to take responsibility for it and kind of figure out how to manage my life differently so I can bring those qualities of joy and heart to a point where they begin to transform me, but not in my own strength. It's a bizarre concept, really. But that's the cool thing about really trusting God, believing in God, and seeing it for what it truly is. So, our secret place. Now, I'm going to close this sharing here this morning, playing a song in just a moment. But before we do, I wanted to read the words. It's a hymn written in 1903, and it's called Near to the Heart of God. It says, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy, all is peace near to the heart of God. That's the ultimate beautiful thing about being a believer, is that we have communion and fellowship with God. So Fred, if you play that please, or David, that'd be great. Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for what you've done on our behalf, Father, your delivering power and how you've pulled us out of the darkness of this world. You've placed the light of Christ within us. And Father, we're out there shining sometimes whether we know it or not. But man, what a more beneficial place to know it. And I thank you, Father, that we are committed in our hearts to crawl up into your arms. To have that time of quiet and rest, Father, that is so needful in our world today, that we can just push aside all the distractions and all the noise and all the clamor and confusion and everything else that seems to be so distracting during these times. And Father, really learn to cultivate some silence and some peace and quiet on the inside And Lord, thank you for giving us where we've fallen short, Father, where we maybe have allowed other things to cause us to have more anxiety and stress than we really ever wanted. And that we become more aware of the peace that is ours because of what Jesus Christ accomplished on our behalf. Thank you for the victory that is truly ours. Thank you that we can be transformed, Father, as we look to you and we take the pressure off ourselves to have to provide and do all these things that we're not really that good at anyway. So I thank you, Father, for just the victory we have in Jesus Christ, and that this week we can rest near to your heart. And I pray in the powerful, the wonderful, the victorious name of our resurrected Lord. And I pray in his name. Amen. All right. God bless.